Ladies, we are studying Parashat Naso. Parashat Naso is well known because it is the longest parasha in the Torah. It has 176 pesukim. I don't believe it's a coincidence that we read the longest parasha right after Hag HaShavuot. It's almost as if to say that when we receive the Torah at Har Sinai, immediately God wants to show us how big the Torah is. He wants to show us how endless it is. So immediately He drops upon us the largest parasha to show us how much we have to study and how much we have to learn. That would be a simple interpretation why the longest parasha follows Shavuot. But it would not explain why the longest chapter in Tehillim, which is chapter 119, Kuf Yud Tet, also has 176 Pesukim. Now that's already not a coincidence anymore. That the longest parasha, Parashat Naso, and the longest Tehillim, both have 176 Pesukim. Now just for your information, I know you ladies don't study too much Gemara, but the longest Gemara that we have in Shas is Baba Batra. And take a guess, it also has 176 pages. So the longest Gemara, the longest chapter in Tehillim, the longest Parasha, all have the magic number 176. Now, it's incumbent upon us to try to figure out what is the secret of this number and why Parashat Naso and chapter Kuf Yud Tet in Tehillim share this number. What I'm going to tell you today is a little deep. I have no choice because the concepts that we're going to develop are a little elevated and high. Especially we're just coming off of Shavuot, and we're still within the 7 days of Shavuot. Somebody asked me, why am I wearing a white tie? I don't usually answer personal questions, but this question I will answer. Usually, if you're a hatan, getting married, you wear a white tie. Hakamim tell us that on Shavuot was the marriage between God and the Jewish people. And the week following Shavuot is the Sheva Berachot. So therefore I want to remind myself that this week we became Hatanim. So I like to wear a white tie the week of Shavuot for 7 days to remind myself of the bond and of the marriage that we just celebrated on Hag Shavuot. Yeah, you know. In any event, now next year they'll ask me a different question. Why I wear a blue suit? Anyway,
no, for us to
up to you to wear white. Yeah, wear your white dresses next year. Hazaka berucha. In any event, there was a rabbi from the country of Moldova. Moldova has been in the news this week because they decided to move their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So it's befitting that we quote one of the great Admorim. They called him the rabbi from Skolia, that was a city in Moldova, from the Portugal family. And he says something very, very mysterious. It's based probably on Kabbalah. And he writes that if you want to know the secret of the 176 Pesukim, you have to go back to Parashat Vayishlah in Bereshit. And in Bereshit, over there it's talking about Esav and all his children, and all his grandchildren, and all the descendants of Esav. And he begins by telling us, Ve'ele toledot Esav avi Edom. These are the descendants of Esav, the father of Edom, Behar Se'ir. Ele shemot. Ben Esav. These are the names. Eliphaz. Well, Eliphaz we know was the son of Esav. Ben Ada Eshet Esav. Reuel Ben Basemat Eshet Esav. Vayihiyu Bene Eliphaz. And now the children of Eliphaz. Teman, Omar, Tsepho. Oh, there's a fellow by the name of Tsepho. Tzaddi Pe Vav. A grandchild of Esav. Says the Admor from Skolia that if you take the word Tsepho, Tzaddi is 90, and Pe is 80, that's 170, and Vav is 6. So he says the secret of 176 is the grandson of Esav. They call him Aluf, the chieftain Tsepho. And that's all he says. But he doesn't give us an understanding of what is behind it. Our parasha in general is a very, very complicated parasha to understand the topics. I'd like just to give you a review of the topics that are discussed in the parasha. Well, in the beginning of the parasha, it's counting the tribe of Levi. Now, really, that counting belongs in last week's parasha. Bamidbar, there was a census. They went through every single tribe, and they counted each tribe, and they gave us the final numbers. Now, in the beginning of Nassau, we're finishing up the census, and we count the families of Gideshon, and we count the families of Kehat, we count the families of Merari. The Torah tells us how many there were from each of those families. And then the Torah tells us their jobs. And in Perek Heh, that's where the parasha really begins, the new topic. The parasha begins. Vedaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Tzav et Bnei Yisrael, Vishalichu min ha-machane kol tsarua, v'chol tzav, v'chol tameh lanafesh. So, ladies, you're aware that there's different forms of impurity. Based on the level of impurity, one has to leave the camp. The Torah does not allow somebody impure to live within the camp of the Jewish people. Now, if it's a severe impurity, he must leave the entire camp, which is all the way outside Mahane Yisrael. That's three camps away. Some types of tumah are not so severe. He's able to stay within Mahane Yisrael. Sometimes he can even stay within Mahane Leviyah. So the Torah says there's three types of tum'ah. Tsarua, that's a leper, someone has leprosy. Zav, zav is somebody that has a tum'ah coming from their body, like a flow. V'chol tameh lanafesh, or somebody that came in contact with a corpse. Mizachar ad nekeva. It doesn't matter, tum'ah doesn't discriminate. Whether you're a male or you're a female, teshalechu. They should be sent el mechutz l'machane teshalichum ve'lo yitame'u et machanehem asher ani shochen betocham, and they will not cause a tum'ah into the camp. Now, I'm not too sure why this made it to this parasha necessarily. This parasha obviously has value, but why is it over here? I mean, the laws of Tum'ah and Sara'at actually were in the book of Vayikra. That's when we learned all those laws of Tum'ah and Tahara. But for some reason the Torah decided to throw that into this parasha. Oh, we're going to have to figure that out. Right after that, the Torah says, Vayidaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Daber Bnei Yisrael, Ish or Isha, again, Torah doesn't discriminate, ki ya'asu mikol hatot ha'adam, that they do a sin, from all the sins, lem'ol ma'al ba'ashem v'ashema nefeshahi, they commit a certain sin. What is the sin? So that she comes along and says, this is talking about the parasha of Gezel. Stealing, specifically stealing from a ger, from a convert that doesn't have any relatives, and then he dies, so who do you return the money to? So the Torah goes on to the laws of stealing. Okay? I mean, the laws of stealing. I don't know what that has to do with a tzara'at. Just random laws. Stealing belongs in Parashat Mishpatim. That's where we learn the laws of Gezer. But fine. Torah then goes on and tells us, oh, I mean, random stuff. Ish ish ki teste ishto. Then it tells us to love the sota. The sota is the lady that her husband suspects for infidelity. And as a result, she has to go to the Beit HaMikdash and she drinks the waters. Of course, if she's innocent, she walks away. And if not, then she starts to become, weak, and her legs collapse, and eventually she falls to the floor. You want to say she explodes, if you want to use that word. So the Torah tells us the laws of Sota. Right after the laws of Sota, then the Torah tells us the law of Nazir. Now you know what the Nazir is. The Nazir is the one that accepts upon himself a vow where he doesn't drink wine and he does not cut his hair, and he accepts upon himself not to become impure to corpse tum'ah. Even, God forbid, if his parents pass away, the Nazir does not disqualify himself with tum'ah by becoming tameh. Now, I understand the connection between Sotah and Nazir. That the Gemara tells us. That the Gemara says, if anybody sees a Sotah in the Beit HaMikdash, in her low state, they should accept upon themselves to become a Nazir. Because the Sotah probably became promiscuous because she drank wine. So therefore, one should accept upon himself to not make the mistake of the Sotah, and therefore to become a Nazir. I don't have a problem with that connection. Although I don't know the connection between the law of send out the three people that are Tameh, the Tsaruwa, the Zab, and the Tameh Lanefer, send them out of the camp. Then the law of stealing. And then you have a law of Sotah. And then you have a law of Nazir. And then you have Birkat Kohanim. Unbelievable parasha. Birkat Kohanim, another unbelievable item. By the Beit Adonai in Moshe, Lemor, Daber El Aharon Vebanav, Lemor, Kote Barichut Bnei Yisrael, Amor Lahem, Yibarich Echa Adonai Vishmerecha, Yair Almai Panav Elecha Vechoneka, Yisa Almai Panav Elecha Vyasim Lecha Shalom, Vesamut Shemiyah Bnei Yisrael Vani Yibarichim. Incredible. Birkat Kohanim. Our custom, the Jews of Aleppo, is that this Shabbat, the Kohen that goes up to the Torah, we read from the beginning of the parasha all the way to the six parashiyot that I just told you until the end of Besamu et Shemiya b'nei Yisrael v'ani yabarechem, because we want a Kohen to be up at the Sefer Torah when they get the Birkat Kohanim, because they're the ones that administer the Birkat Kohanim. Although, what's Birkat Kohanim doing this parasha? Well, I'll tell you what I always thought. There's a law that says that you have to read certain parashiyot before holidays. For example, Parashat Bechukotai always has to be read before Shavuot, because Bechukotai has all the curses. So we want to get all the curses behind us, so when Shavuot comes, it's like we're turning over a new leaf. The curses are behind us. It's almost like Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah also, we read the curses of Kitavo always before Rosh Hashanah. So when we start the new year, the curses are behind us. So similarly, on Shavuot, we always read Bechukotai before Shavuot. Then we usually have a buffer. We have a parashat to separate between the Kelalot and Shavuot, which is Bamidbar. And then I always understood that once we get the Torah, we get all the blessings. So therefore, right after Shavuot, we read the Birkat Kohanim, which is all the blessings encapsulated in those three Pesukim. Fine. Now, what takes up the majority of the parasha? These parashiyot, these pesukim, not too many of them. Where do you get the lion's share of the parasha? Well, about 90 pesukim are the korbanot that the presidents of the tribes brought on the inauguration day of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was built, and it was inaugurated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. On that day, the tribal leader Nachshon ben Aminadav from the tribe of Yehuda believed that we should bring a korban. It's a holiday. The Mishkan, Shekhinah came down. So he brought a korban on that day. And we read about his korban. Actually, it says in the Pasuk, I'll just read it to you. Vayihem makri bayom harishon et korbano Nachshon ben Aminadav lemate Yehuda, and it tells us his whole korban. And then it says bayom hasheni, and then it says bayom hashelishi, and then bayom harevi'i, and it goes through no less than 12 repetition of all the same korban that each nasi brought, and that really takes you to the end of the parasha. And it gives you a summary. Zot Hanukkah the Mizbeach. This was the inauguration of the Mizbeach, and the parasha ends. Now, that's 90 pesukim about. And you know, there's a rule when it comes to the haftarah. Ladies, you know what the haftarah is? Oh, yeah, this week's haftarah is Shimshon, but you know generally what haftarah is? There was a period where the Romans made a decree that we cannot take out a Sefer Torah on Shabbat. They decreed against the Sefer Torah. They must know how important it is. If they're decreeing against it, that means they know it's important. We should learn from them. Anyway, the rabbis were concerned that we're going to forget the parashiyot. So they went and found a parasha in the prophets, in the Navi, that has a similar theme to the parasha, and therefore you would read that chapter in prophets, which they didn't ban, and that would remind you of the parashat HaShavua. So always you have to find a connection between the haftarah and the parasha. And normally, because the rabbis chose these haftarah, this was not chosen by some committee, this was chosen by the rabbis, by the tzaddikim. Usually they're going to choose the main theme of the parasha. They're not just going to choose a random, tangential theme. They're going to choose the main theme of the parasha. Now, if I was choosing the haftarah, I would say, well, 90 pesukim are talking about the korban that the presidents brought on the inauguration days of the Mishkan. Now, by the way, I mean, I don't want to make too much trouble here, but I wouldn't put that in this week's parasha at all. The Mishkan was inaugurated in Parashat Shemini. So if anything, that belonged over there. But for some reason, I don't know, in this parasha, nothing belongs where it is. Everything should be somewhere else. It sounds like they just took random stuff that should have been in a different place, but for some reason they didn't put it there. They just botch it all together. But fine, that's what the parasha did. So I would say, well, the Haftarah must be talking about, I don't know, inaugural sacrifices. Instead, as you said correctly, the Navi talks about the story of Shimshon. You may call him Samson. Shimshon the Gibor. And what in the world does Shimshon have to do with the parasha? Oh, he was a Nazir. He was a Nazir. He didn't drink wine. And he didn't cut his hair, and he wasn't able to become Tamei. Wow! I wouldn't have guessed it. That's the main theme of the parasha. The Nazir, there's maybe 7-8 Pesukim. Birkat Kohanim is a big item. I mean, I wouldn't commit to the Sota, we don't want to double up on that, but on the Korbanot, Birkat Kohanim. No, instead, Nazir. That gets me thinking that the key of the parasha is Nazir. And I'm not too sure I even understand what Nazir is. What's the big deal? So he accepts upon himself not to drink some wine and not to become tamed to the med. And why is that such a great thing? Where Ibn Ezra says, Nazir comes from the Lashon Nezer. Nezer means like a crown. He's a crowned man. He's like a king. He has a status like a Kohen Gadol, they say. Well, that's where we begin. In order to understand the parasha, you'll allow me to quote to you some very, very important midrashim. The Midrash that I'm quoting you now is in Midrash Rabbah. I have a copy of it in front of me. It's Parashah Yud Gimel. Amar Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosef. Bati lagan en ketif kan ela bati legani legenuni lamakom shu ikari metechila v'chi ikar shechina ena betachtonim haita. God, when he created the world, the Midrash says, his original intention was that he wanted to have his embassy on earth. That's what he wanted to rest, on earth. His purpose was to come up from the heavens. The heavens would be the second residency. But his primary residency was supposed to be on earth. And the Pasuk says that when Adam HaRishon was created, God was mitalech bagan. God was roaming in the garden. Gan Eden was actually God's garden. And Adam HaRishon was able to live in the same territory as the Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, all of a sudden, after Adam HaRishon and Hava, don't forget, and Hava, when they ate from the tree, all of a sudden, the Shekhinah said, they chased me out. They chased me out of my own garden. And what happened? It says, Nistaleka Shekhinah, Laraki HaRishon. The Shekhinah went up one level. So it was still close to earth, but Borei Olam said, you imagine that, you evicted me from my own garden. You told the Baal HaBayit, go away from here. Well, when God was still one level away from earth, it was very easy to bring him down again. But instead what happened, the Midrash writes, Hat'u Kayin. Kayin made a sin. And that only caused God to move one level higher. So now he was 2 degrees away from the world. Hat'u Dor Enosh. Dor Enosh was a generation that worshipped Avodah Zarah. Nistaleka l'raki ashrishi. Hat'u Dor HaMabul, that's the flood, Noah. Nistaleka l'raki ha-revi'i. Dor HaPalaga, nistaleka l'hamishi. Hat'u ha-sedomim, Sedom. Nistaleka l'raki ha-shishi. Hat'u ha-mitzriyim, in the times of Paro, of Abraham Abinu with Paro. Nistaleka l'rakiya ha-shevi'i. So by the time Abraham came, the Shekhinah was as far as it could be. Look at this. This we call a deterioration. The Shekhinah was on earth. Metalech bagam. And now all of a sudden, Abraham Abinu is about 2,000 years later from the creation of the world. And by that time, the Shekhinah was gone. It's in the 7th level, which is the highest level to be away from this world. And then the Midrash comes along and tells us that a tzaddik came and he started to bring the Shekhinah back down. Uchnegdan amdu shiv'a tzaddikim vehoridu et ha-shekhinah min ha'elyonim la-tachtonim. Came 7 tzaddikim and each tzaddik was able to bring the Shekhinah down one level. Ve'eluhen, Abraham from 7 to 6. Yitzhak from 6 to 5. Yaakov 5 to 4. Levi the son of Yaakov from 4 to 3. Kehat the son of Levi from 3 to 2. Amram the father of Moshe from 2 to 1. Moshe horida min ha'elyonim la'tachtonim. Moshe is the 7th tzaddik, and Moshe Rabbeinu in his life was able to bring the Shekhinah back down to the original position where it was at the time of the creation of the heavens and the earth. Now this means, ladies, that something happened in the times of Moshe that was tantamount to the creation of the heaven and the earth. Somebody pushed the reset button. And all of a sudden, everything went back to its original way, and the Shekhinah was comfortable enough to say, it's like day one again. It's like my original intention. The question is, what happened in that year? The year was 2,449 from creation. That's when this incredible event took place, where Moshe was involved in a project, and this project actually was able to bring the world back to where it was at the time of creation. I might say to you, we might call this event the second creation. You know about the creation in the book of Bereshit. There's a second creation. That creation would take place in the book of Shemot. And it was the creation of a miniature world. I don't know if anybody ever went to Eretz Israel. They have an exhibit of a mini Israel. Well, you could go to this location, and they have everything in Eretz Israel, but in a miniature form. And you could go to every city, and you could see every important town, and all the major areas that they have there. And it's a small microcosm of the whole land. It's something to see. You don't have to go to the whole land. You go to this one place, and you see the whole Eretz Israel. Of course, it doesn't have the Kedushah of Eretz Israel. It's a model. In any event, Moshe Rabbeinu was involved, and Klal Yisrael, because you needed this tikkun to take place by all the Jewish people, in creating a mini world. And in that mini world, it was so pure and so proper that God said, I could come down at least to that spot. Maybe not to the whole universe, but just like God lived in Gan Eden, they were able to create another form of Gan Eden on earth, and God was comfortable enough to come down and rest his place on earth. Are you aware of this miniature world that was created? It's called the Mishkan. It's called Mishkan. Now, you must know what the word Mishkan means. Don't tell me tabernacle. That's a sophisticated word. Mishkan comes from the Hebrew word Lishkon. Lishkon is to dwell. A shechen is a neighbor. This structure, God said, I'm able to become your shechen again. I'm able to become your good neighbor. This area that you created for me is exactly a replica of the world. Now, you don't look at it like that. You look at it as, well, the world. Where's the sun? Where's the moon? Where's the sky? Where's the oceans? No, you wouldn't think when you went, if somebody would tell you, I'm taking you to a mini world. So, oh, I'd like to see a mini world. You expect to go to a place and they have seven continents and they have all the different oceans and the mountains. No, the mini world actually was the Mishkan. And it was built with tremendous kavanot. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that the builder of the Mishkan, his name was Bezalel. And what do they tell us about Bezalel? His name is Bezalel. He's in the shadow of God. Yodeya haya Bezalel. Letzaref bahem otiyot, shebon nivrehu bahem shamayim ba'aris. Bezalel knew how to take the words of the Hebrew alphabet, the letters, and use them in different configurations, and he would be able to create the heavens and the earth. Now, the question you may ask is, well, that he's overqualified. We don't need him to build the heaven and the earth, we just need him to build a Mishkan. So, no. In order to build the Mishkan, you have to know how to build the heaven and the earth. That's not overqualified, that's the minimum qualification. Because this Mishkan has in it the DNA of the 7 days of creation, or the 6 days plus one. And the Midrash goes on to show something stunning. That if you look in the construction of the Mishkan, and you look at the construction of the world, you start to see tremendous correlations. Words that are only used by creation are only used by the Mishkan. Words you don't see anywhere in the Torah are only found by these two events. I read you the Midrash. Et ha-Mishkan שהוא שקול כנגד העולם, שקרוי אוהל. The world is called אוהל, כשם שמשכן קרוי אוהל. Just like the Mishkan is called אוהל. כיצד? בראשית ברא אלוהים. In the beginning God created. וכתיב, נוטה שמיים כידיעה. God spread the sky like a sheet. Like you take a leather mat and you spread it across. So King David says when God created the heavens, it says, Note shamayim, he spread the heavens kaydi'ah, like a sheet. And what does it say by the Mishkan? Ve'asita yiri'ot izim. That when they built the roof of the Mishkan, it uses the same word, yiri'ah. So the yiri'ot of the Mishkan are keneged shamayim. On the second day of creation, Yehi Rakia, let there be a Rakia firmament, Vihim Mavdil. The purpose of the Rakia is to separate between the waters that are above and the waters that are below. Ubimishkan Ketiv Vihivdila HaParochet. You had a parochet, a curtain that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. Vihivdila. On the third day of creation, Yekavu HaMayim. All the waters will gather. What does it say in the Mishkan? Ve'asita kiyod nehoshet v'chanol lehoshet l'ruchsa. Make a basin and collect all the water and put it in the basin. On the fourth day of creation, yihim me'orot b'kiyah shamayim. Create the sun. What does it say in the Mishkan? Ve'asita menorat zahav. Build a menorah in order to give light. On the fifth day, ve'of ye'ofef ala ares. You create the birds with their wings that fly. What does it say in the Mishkan? The cherubs that had their wings like the birds that fly. On the sixth day, who was created? Adam. Ubimishkan ve'ata hakrev elecha et Aharon achicha. Incredible. You have Adam. So who's the Adam? Who's Adam Arishon of the Mishkan? Aharon HaKohen. Bashivi'i, on the seventh day, what does it say? Vaykulu hashamayim ve'aretz, and the world was finished. Vaykulu. What did it say in the Mishkan? Vatechel kol avodat haMishkan. Exact same verb. Bebriat olam it says vaybarich Elohim. After the world was finished, God blessed the world. What did it say in the Mishkan? Vaybarich otam. Bashivi'i on the seventh day. Vaychal Elohim ubaMishkan. Vayhi beyom kalot Moshe. Bashivi'i vaykadesh oto, he sanctified the world. Ubamishkan vaykadesh oto. Exact words. So you see, according to the Midrash, we have a new view of what the Mishkan was. The Mishkan returned the world back to original settings, default settings, the way the world was when Hashem created. Now look at something, an observation. An observation that I made, I then noticed it in the Midrash. Oh, I could tell it to you outside. When God created the first, on day one, it says, Vahi Erev, Vahi Boker. What does it say? No, Yom Ehad. Yom Ehad. Now, what does it say on the second day? Vahi Erev, Vahi Boker. Yom Sheni, Yom Shelishi, Yom Revi'i. There's an inconsistency here. When you're counting, if you're counting Sheni, Shelishi, Revi'i, then number one should be Rishon. It does not say Vayi'ere Vayibokir Yom Rishon, it says Yom Ehad. This is a problem in the system of the counting. The Midrash comes along and says, it says Yom Ehad because on that day God was Ehad. It's talking about the oneness of God. There was nobody else in the world. There was no creations in the world. On that day, Vayi'ere Vayibokir Yom Ehad, it was the day of Ehad. But God said, my purpose is not to remain Ehad in the heavens. My purpose is to come down on earth. Well, Borei Olam came down on earth temporarily, but only for one day. He came down on Friday. Adam and Yishon made the sin on that day. before you know it, it didn't work. Borei Olam says, in the perfect world, it should be Rishon, Sheni. I don't want to be Ehad in the Shamayim. I want to be on earth. When did God come down on earth and fulfill His purpose of why He created the world? When they built the Mishkan. Now, on the day that they built the Mishkan, look what I noticed. On the first day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, listen to what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk writes, and I quote, Vayhi hamakriv bayom harishon et korbano Nachshon ben Aminadav. Now already the world reached its perfection. Now it was not Yom Ehad anymore. That Yom Ehad would become Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shelishi. The world would reach its ultimate tikkun. And I found it in the Midrash. Vayhi hamakriv bayom harishon et korbano Nachshon ben Aminadav lematei Yehuda. Amar Shmuel ben Abba, mahu bayom harishon? Min hayom harishon shebara kadosh baruch hu et ha'olam, from day one when He created the world, netaveh ladur im b'riyotav, He wanted to live with us. Re'eh he'achketi b'briyat yom rishon. What does it say on day one? Vayi'ereb vayibokr yom ehad. Yom rishon eno omed. It doesn't say yom rishon, ela yom ehad. Ushem she'amar yom ehad, what yomar yom shenayim, yom shelosha. Ela lama amar yom ehad? She'ad she'ad baruch hu haya yechidi be'olamo, when God was just alone in the world, netaveh ladur im b'riyotav, He wanted to come down. Lo asachen. Ela kevan shu kama mishkan, once the mishkan was built, which is a miniature world, v'yishravu ha'kadosh baruch hu shkinato, u'bahu ha'nesi'im, amar ha'kadosh baruch hu, now the world is complete. Now you can write Yom Rishon. The only word that was missing in creation is Yom Rishon, v'hi ha'makrib ba'yom Rishon, the world is complete. The tikkun is made. Oh, so if that's the case, this parasha over here actually is very significant. This parasha is not just telling us about the Mishkan, that it could have done in a different parasha. Here the Torah is telling us what the Mishkan served. The purpose of the Mishkan was to bring a rectification of the world, to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon, and to bring the world to the ultimate perfection. That's the theme of this parasha, by the way. That is the theme. The world returning to its ultimate perfection of a mini world called Mishkan, and God sending His presence down to the world. Now, once we know that secret, look at this, what I found. V'idaber Adonai Moshe l'emor, Tzavet b'nei Yisrael, V'ishalichu min ha'machaneh, Kol tzarua, V'chol zav, V'chol tameh la'nefesh. Send from the camp all the lepers, the people with leprosy, the people that had zav. Zav is flowing tum'ah from their body. V'chol tameh la'nefesh, and anybody that became impure from a corpse. There's a rabbi over here called Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim writes, the next parasha is, God says, don't steal. Don't steal. V'idaber Adonai in Moshe l'emor, daber el b'nei Yisrael, ish o isha ki yasu mikol hatot ha'adam. So, when the Torah refers to don't steal, it says, if a person is going to commit hatot ha'adam, the sin of Adam. Well, that's a strange way of the Torah to talk. Just say, if a person commits a sin. So he says, because what was the ultimate sin of Adam? Baal HaTurim says he stole. God said, this tree is off limits, no trespassing. So besides the fact that God told him, don't eat. But what's the sin? So he says, Hatot Adam Lemo'ol Ma'al Bahashem. You abuse something that God considered sanctified, Ve'ashema Nefesh, and you caused great trouble to your soul. As a result of Adam HaRishon's sin of stealing, what happened? The Zohar HaKadosh writes, as well as the Midrash, that all of a sudden, different punishments were levied. The first punishment was, it says the snake became filled with leprosy. That's the Midrash writes. You ever see a snake has spots? That represents the original leprosy that the snake got at the time that he seduced Adam and Hava. Not only that, but it says Hava became Teme'ah. She became a Zav. The Zav is the flow of Tum'ah that comes out of the lady. That's Zava. And man now brought the death penalty into the world. Tum'at Met. Before Adam and Rishon, there was no Tum'at Met. Says the Baal HaTuri when I quote, Ki ya'asu mikol hatot ha'adam. You understand what's going on over here? This parasha you do not read simply. This parasha is talking about the tikkun of the Mishkan, rectifying the chet of Adam Rishon. Says Baal HaTurim, Samach hatot ha'adam l'shiluach teme'im. What's the connection of the sin of Adam to sending out the teme'im? Sha'al yedei hatot ha'adam, shechata Adam Rishon shechal min ha'etz, which is stealing, v'nahash it'a et ha'isha, and the nahash fooled the isha, v'hi hotzi'ah shem ra ala adam, lakush loshtam, all three got punished. Ha'nahash b'tzara'at, v'isha b'ziva, v'ha'adam b'mita. Uchseder kelelatatam mone otam kan, tzaru'a d'haynu ha'nahash, v'zav haynu ha'isha, v'tamer la'nefesh d'haynu ha'adam. And that's why the Pasuk says, when it talks about sending these three out of the camp, Mizachar ve'ad nekeba. That means Adam and Hava, Zachar ad nekeba, el mechutz l'machaneh. Mizachar ve'ad nekeba, keshem shenitgarshu Adam ve'Hava ve'nahash b'Gan Eden. Wait. So the Torah over here, in this parasha actually, is reviewing to us why he left. Zerbotai, don't make the same mistake again. You built the Mishkan, we made Tikkun HaOlam, the Shekhinah's back down in the world. Now God says, but remember why this all happened. This all happened over here because somebody stole, and as a result, the Tzara'at came, and the Zav came, and the Tum'at Adam came, Zachad Nekeba. And then the Torah says, based on the Midrash, now ladies, don't go into this too deep, but the Midrash definitely tells us that the snake went with Chava. What does that mean, went with Chava? The Gemara says he was actually put some of his Zuhama, some of his Tum'ah, into Adam, into Chava. Oh, and as a result, what happened? He committed adultery. This was a married lady. And what happened to the legs of the snake? They collapsed. And therefore, says the Baal HaTurim, the next parashah is Parashat Sotah. Parashat Sotah reminds us that as a result of what the snake did to Hava, like it says in the Torah, that the Sotah's legs collapse and they fall to the ground, and the curse obviously is on her. As a result of the Sotah comes the Tikkun. Adam HaRishon, what was the tree? There's different opinions. One opinion says that he ate from the tree. Min ha'etz. Min ha'etz means he took the grapes and he squeezed the grapes. Min ha'etz. From what grows on the tree. He didn't eat what's on the tree. Min ha'etz means from what grows on the tree, he squeezed it. It was wine. That was the tikkun. And therefore the Torah says, the tikkun of Adam HaRishon happens in the Nazir. That the Nazir comes along and he wants to rectify the sin. And therefore, what does he do, the Nazir? He accepts upon himself a vow of no wine. Why? Because he wants to abstain from the chet of Adam HaRishon, and he accepts upon himself not to become tameh to any corpses. Because Adam HaRishon caused corpse tum'ah, he caused death to the world. So the Nazir keeps away from all these inyanim of death, in order to bring the world back. So the Nazir, actually, is a very, very important part of this parasha. The Nazir is actually the tikkun of Adam Rishon. Now, of course, after the tikkun of Adam Rishon is made, on that day that Adam Rishon committed the sin, God brought down to the world 39 curses. The snake got cursed, Adam got cursed, and Hava got cursed. Unfortunately, these curses have returned to the world, and we know what they are. The ladies have the childbirth, there's death lo aleinu velo aleichem, there's making parnasa, which is difficult. These are the curses that came down to the world amongst 39 curses, the Gemara says. That's why when somebody commits a sin, they give him 39 whips. That's why there's 39 melachot on Shabbat. That's for another point. In any event, once the Nazir makes a tikkun of Adam Rishon, those curses turn into blessings. Hence we have Birkat Kohanim in the parasha, that the curses that happen in Gan Eden become berachot. So ultimately this parasha, although it sounds like random items that are being put together, it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle that presents Tikkun HaOlam with the Mishkan. It reminds us of the sin of Adam and their punishments. It reminds us of the Tikkun of the Nazir. And then it tells us the Tikkun. The Tikkun of the Nazir, which brings ultimately the Birkat Kohanim. Now, in next week's parasha, we read one more piece of this puzzle. But I know you don't want to wait till next week, so I'm going to tell it to you now. The Torah tells us in next week's parasha about Pesach Sheni. It says, "Vayihyu anashim asher hayu teme'im lenefesh Adam." There was two people that were tameh. They were ritually impure, and they could not bring the Pesach because they were impure. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, "What do we do? We want to bring the Korban Pesach, but we cannot." So they were pushed off until Pesach Sheni. Comes the Gemara and says, who were they tameh to? Who died that they became tameh to? The Gemara says, Nadav Avihu. When Aaron's children died, Nadav Avihu, somebody had to deal with them. The Hatzalah members had to take the what do you call them, Misaskim members. They had to take the bodies of Nadav Avihu. So they were on the Havilat Kadisha, these guys, and they took the bodies of Nadav Avihu. Says Abenu Ari. Nadav Avihu collectively had the neshama of Adam Rishon. They came to fix the head of Adam Rishon. Now you know that whenever you come back to fix the head of somebody, that's your biggest test. It's not easy to make a tikkun. The sin of Adam was he drank wine. And if you remember what the Gemara says about the sin of Nadab Abihu, is that before they went in to serve, they drank a little wine. And that re-aroused the sin of Adam Rishon. That's what the pasuk says, "Vayhi vayyu anashim asher hayu tameim lenefesh Adam." It calls that tumah, they were tamet to nefesh Adam. It wasn't Adam, it was Nadab Abihu. Said Ariza, because Nadab Abihu had nefesh Adam. Well, says Rabbeinu Ari that somebody has to make the tikkun of Adam. Came a big tzaddik called Shimshon. Shimshon, who was the perfect Nazir, who abstained from wine from his mother's womb, who never became tameh to the corpse, which is part of the height of Adam Rishon, who lived a life of tremendous purity, although it doesn't seem like that from the text, but one day I'll explain to you the book of Shimshon. Says Rabbeinu Ari that when the Navi talks about Shimshon, it says in the Pasuk in Shemuel, "Vayishlach Hashem," God sent us great leaders. One leader was Yerubal. One leader, his name was Bedan. Who's Bedan? Well, it was a leader that came from the tribe of Dan. Shimshon came from the tribe of Dan. So it's Shimshon is Bedan. Says Rabbi Arizal, Shimshon was the Gilgul of Nadav, who was the Gilgul of Adam. That's why they call him Bedan. Bedan is Otiyot Nadav. So now Shimshon, who's Adam HaRishon, would come and make tremendous tikkunim. That's why Yaakov Abinu, when he prophesied about Shimshon, he refers to him, Yehidan Nahash. He compares him to a Nahash. Because he would come and make the tikkun of Adam and Nahash, etc. Wait, now I understand something very good. The main part of the parasha is the Nazir. Because the Nazir is the tikkun of Adam HaRishon. And therefore Shimshon, who is that representative of the tikkun of Adam HaRishon, is the main theme of the Haftarah. Right after we finish Matan Torah, Borei Olam is reminding us, now the world has reached its ultimate perfection again. Shekhinah is dwelling amongst us. Do not go after your desires. Do not go after your pleasures. The Nazir reminds us of abstention of the sins of Adam and Rishon to bring the world ultimately to the Birkat Kohanim, to the highest levels of blessings and Beracha. That being said, what does this have to do with the 176 Pesukim? What does this have to do with the 176 Pesukim? You know, there's a sefer that we learned in the synagogue many years ago. It's called Kav HaYashar. If you go on our website, you'll see we gave hundreds of shi'urim on this book. This book over here has a lot of secrets. We actually loved it so much, we did it twice. Kav HaYashar. He tells us something like this. He says, Da, ki tzefo ben Eliphaz ben Esav. There's a child or grandchild of Esav, his name is Tzefo. That's what we mentioned in the beginning. Hanichtav b'Torah, he's written the Torah, this guy, Aluf Tzefo. He, hakelipa harishona shebeshev'im umot. Out of the 70 nations, the 70 anti-Semitic nations, Tzefo is the kingpin of it. Vehu haya melech rishon. Now, if you ladies might know the answer to this. If you were to make a list of some of the most anti-Semitic countries, well, I know Germany would be on the list. There's another country that's well known, even today, they still deny that they had anything to do with the Holocaust. Poland. I don't think we will argue on the anti-Semitism and the hatred that Poland. So he writes over here, and this is then, I don't know when he wrote the book, this is before the Holocaust. He writes that this Tzefo, where was his Kilipa based? Reshit memshalto hayta b'medinat Polin. And he says, if you take the numerical value of Polin, Pe is 80, Vav is 6, that's 86. Lamed and Yud is 40. And Nun is 50, that's 90. 90 and 86 is 176. Gematria Tzefo. Tzefo put his Tum'ah, this is the Kilipav Esav, Mevedinat Polin. In Kabbalah, when we talk about the Satan, sometimes they don't want to say his name. So they say Peloni. Peloni means Mr. Flan, Mr. Anonymous. Peloni is Otiyot Polin. The Peloni, which is the Satan's name. Who Otiyot Polin? Shu Gematria Tzefo. Ki Amedina Zot. He yoshevet tachat yad asar shel Edom, v'hi kelipa rishona. It's the first kelipa. This is the number one, the ace of spades. Veda. Now he says something crazy that I don't understand too much, but he writes, when was this kelipa created? This anti-Semitic kelipa, when was it formed? Veda ki ha kelipa shel Tzefo, Hiba'am Mahmat Het Shel Adam HaRishon V'Chava. It happened when the het of Adam and Habba. Now he holds that the tree that Adam and Rishon ate from was a chita, was a wheat. A wheat tree. The Gemara had different opinions. He says, ki chita gematria chavbet. Chita numerically equals 22. And when Adam ate from the tree, it brought a pegam to the 22 letters of the Torah. The sin of Adam Rishon, you'll ask your local Kabbalist what this means. There's 10 sefirot. Every sin puts a blemish in a different department. Adam Rishon's sin was in the 8th department called Hod. I don't know why. He doesn't tell me why. But he says that he was pogam in the 8th sphere called Hod, the 22 letters of the alphabet. So he says 22 times 8 is 176. And as a result of that, it caused Tsefor, which is the Kidipari Shonav anti-Semitism, to arouse itself. The Het Pe'amim Chabet, Hod is the 8th department. I'll tell you how you do that. It's Chokmah, Bina, Da'at, that's 3. Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, that's 6. Netzach is 7, Hod is 8. So that's where the sin was. Why is it in the 8th department, not in the 6th department? Go ask. But that's what he's telling you. And therefore 22 times 8 is 176. Kiminyan Sefer. Oh, says our great rabbi called Rav Chida. Rav Chida comes along and says that we know that Adam HaRishon, many people would try to come back to fix his sin. Many people. Some of them were major people. One of them actually was not a Gilgul of Adam, but was actually Adam. And who's that? King David. Because Adam had 1,000 years of his life. And he gave 70 of those years to David. So David is actually an extension of Adam. And he says, that's why he wanted to make the tikkun of Adam. So in his Tehillim, he wrote the longest chapter, 176 Pesukim. With the Aleph Bet. With the 22 letters of the Aleph Bet 8 times. In order, because that's what that chapter is, Kuf Yutet. It's 8 Alephs, 8 Bets, 8 Gimals, 8 times 22. He specifically did that to make the Tikkun of Adam. But ultimately, the sin is still there, and ultimately the only one to make the Tikkun will be Mashiach. That's why Adam is Rashi Tevot, Adam, David, Mashiach. That ultimately Mashiach will have to make this Tikkun. Now we go full circle. We come back to Al Perashah. Al Perashah, that's talking about the Tikkun of the Het Adam Rishon, with the construction of the Mishkan, which is a miniature world, that has the DNA of the original world, the way it was at the time of creation. Not Yom Ehad, but Yom Rishon. And at that time that the Mishkan came down, it made the Tikkun of the theft, the Gezel, of Adam Rishon. Adam Kiyim Ol Ma'al, Adam, the sin of Adam, and it made the Tikkun of the sending out of the Tzaruah, and the Zav, and Mikol Tum'at Adam. It made the Tikkun of the Sota of Chava that was with the snake that eventually lost his legs and fell to the floor. The Tikkun of the Nazir was made. As a result, the Birkat Kohanim was delivered. Nazir is the highlight of the Perasha because it talks about the abstention of the sin of Adam Rishon, and therefore you cannot get a better amount of Pesukim of 176, which corresponds to that Kilipa that was created at the time of Adam's sin, and as a result of the Tikkun of the Mishkan, that was already destroyed, and the ultimate Tikkun was temporary. The Mishkan, unfortunately, did not last forever, but at least now we see the secrets right after Matan Torah, the secrets that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to us in the Perasha. Now all we have to wait is for the third Tikkun, which is Adam, which is Mashiach Sitkenu. And then he writes, and I conclude, the rabbi in Kaba Yashar, that Sefer ultimately will turn to the Kedusha, and there's a city in Eretz Yisrael in the area of Binyamin, which is, by the way, the area of the Beit HaMikdash, because the Beit HaMikdash is Binyamin's area. And that area is called Tzuf. Tzuf is Otiyot Sefer. Ultimately, the Tzuf, that land of Eretz where the Beit HaMikdash is, will be the ultimate place where the Satan and the Tzefor and all the 70 Kilipot will be finally destroyed, like it says in the Pasuk, Bila Amavet LaNetzah, that the death of these Kilipot will be eternally erased, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be fulfilled, V'haya Adonai LeMelech Al Kol HaAretz, Bayom Ahu, Yehiyeh Adonai Echad, Ushmo Echad.